Hello, students. Welcome to the final presentation of the final chapter of Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management, and to the final chapter of life. Death. Yeah. Well, it's all going to happen. It's going to happen to all of us. Well, maybe not. You millennials, who knows what will happen in 80 years? Yeah, the way technology, who knows, you might be living for a lot longer than you ever thought you would, which is a good problem to have, which is why you should start saving now, but we've already been there. Let's discuss death, because we've already done taxes, and we know that the two things that are certain in this life are death and taxes. But we don't usually call it death planning, we call it estate planning, indeed, because what's left over after we check out? The property. What is estate planning? Well, your estate consists of everything you own. The estate plan is how you set up to administer and distribute your property during your life. Those are called gifts, legally. When you give something to somebody, the IRS wants to know about it, depending on certain issues. Or after your death, and then that's an inheritance, a bequeathment. Estate planning is not just for the wealthy. If you own a home or you have children, you need estate planning. Now, nothing, I want you to listen carefully, nothing in this presentation is meant to be construed as legal advice in the state of California. Are you aware of this? Are you nodding your head? Yes. Because I am 3 years of law school and one bar exam from being able to give legal advice in the state of California. How long is law school, right? 3 years, right? I took business law a long time ago and my prof wasn't that great. You're going to learn a whole lot more by taking business law here at Southwestern with Professor Shapiro or Professor Levine. Yes. And I've asked lawyers, friends, to watch through this and see if I screwed up, but none of them have done it yet. Estate planning includes both building your estate and transferring your estate upon your death. Slide number two. Most people give little or no thought to putting their family, their personal and financial affairs in order for the folks that survive them. At the very least, if you own a child, you need to talk to a lawyer about naming a guardian and then distributing your things, your estate, your belongings, your property. The demands of daily living can keep people about thinking from about death. Plus, it just ain't fun to think about a time when you won't be here anymore, is it? No, it's not. Slide 39. Plan while you're in good health. Don't procrastinate until some life-threatening illness or near-death experience scares you into acting. Estate planning is especially important for non-traditional households and businesses, unmarried partners, or gay relations. Yeah, same-sex relations. Bye, now you get married and you have all the rights and responsibilities of heterosexual couples, so there you go. Business partnership relationships. Remember the discussion we had in Chapter 10 on life insurance? Right. You better prepare for this because people die from accidents, whatever, and you need to be ready in the case of a business partnership because you don't want the surviving partner's livelihood to be threatened. Slide 40. Should you hire a lawyer or go it alone? Well, what did we say about taking out your own appendix? Get a good referral because a good lawyer can help you, folks. I know it sounds really outrageous and it is very expensive, but you need a good doctor if you need your appendix taken out, and you need a good lawyer if you're going to put together an estate plan. Now, there are two documents that we're going to spend time on, and we'll discuss them in detail, but they are the will and the trust. And for now, just know that you're going to want one or the other, and that's for the lawyer to decide. A will in the state of California is very cheap. It should be. If it's not, then you probably need a trust. And a trust ain't cheap. you still see advertisements for $4.95, everything included, and I don't believe a single word of it. Expect to pay at least $1,000 for a trust. Should you go it alone, there are books, software programs, pre-printed forms, many, many internet sites designed to help you. The most respected is Nolo.com, started many years ago before the internet by a lawyer who was just upset that people who didn't have the means were being charged outrageous amounts for legal help. And he said, you know, most of this stuff is just simply filling out forms. So he built up a publishing company to give people the option, if they so choose. And he'll be the first one to warn you. You know, you remember, you better make sure you know what you're doing. And if it's out of your league, it's out of your league. Go see a lawyer. But then H&R Block, Do Your Own Will, LegalZoom. I like that name, LegalZoom. So go ahead, see how much it'll cost you if you do it alone. Or go see a lawyer. Slide 41. What is involved in estate planning? Well, you need to create, review, update the will, the trust, all the other documents on a regular basis, especially if you get married, divorce, or move to another state. Now, there's a document called a codicil, which I don't know where they get it. Why didn't they just call it an amendment? I don't know. But normally, when there are some life-changing situations and events, such as marriage or divorce, you're going to want to do new documents anyway. You're going to need to name an executor, and we'll discuss the executor's power in a bit. You should consider creating and managing a trust or trusts, not to be construed as legal advice in the state of California, but the truth is that most all Californians would benefit from a trust once they start to accumulate a significant amount of wealth, and that includes a house. Prepare a letter of last instructions, which really has no legal standing, but it can be helpful, and it's not a legal document. We'll discuss it in a bit. Organize current financial records and documents and let family members know where they are. Yeah, it's a cliche that 7 years after the guy died, they found this life insurance policy or this stock certificate or whatever. And how do we do this? Well, it's actually very simple. Slide 42. Remember the net worth statement? Exactly. On the net worth statement, at least my net worth statement, are all the phone numbers and websites that my wife would have to take a look at, or whomever, if the two of us were to pass away in an accident, say, that everybody would have to, anybody who's going to deal with the estate, they have to contact these people. So your net worth statement becomes that inventory of your estate. All the financial investments, retirement accounts, real estate, business interests, insurance policies, any collectibles. Let people know where they are. Where are the titles to the vehicles? Where are the important documents, the Social Security veterans documents, mortgage, and all the other documents that you need? Have them on your net worth statement. Pretty cool. You do remember your financial statements, don't you? I certainly hope so. Slide 43. Now, on the board, when we do this face-to-face class, I'll put the word will, will in one section, and next to it will be trust, because these are the two major documents that you will be preparing, depending on what the lawyer tells you to do. The will, I love this definition, a legal declaration of a person's mind as to the disposition of his or her property after death. In other words, who gets the property? Marriage and divorce will affect your will, and depending on the state you live in, it may revoke your will. As we said, if you get married, you get divorced, you move to another state, you're probably going to want a new will anyway, so talk to the lawyer. In the state of California, a standard will costs about $200 to $300 or $400. Because that means you don't really have that much property and there's not a whole lot for them to do. Although I don't personally recommend it, I think you should talk to a lawyer. You could probably do your own will without creating a legal nightmare for your heirs. All right? Go ahead, do it. You know, use LegalZoom or whatever, or Nolo. But I have the names of two very, very good lawyers that I trust who are well skilled in estate preparation in Chula Vista, and they're both awesome. So, and they both helped us in our travails and our estate documents. So, go find a good lawyer, folks. Slide number 44: intestate and probate. Intestate, boy, that sounds obscene, doesn't it? Well, really, it just means you die without a will. But you hear somebody say, well, he died intestate, and you think, oh my goodness, did he have his clothes on? No, it just means they never got around to creating any estate planning documents. And guess what? If you don't create an estate planning document for yourself and your family, the state does it on your behalf. The state of California in our instance, distributes your assets. The state decides on a guardian for your child or children. And it becomes very complicated if you have a blended family, children from a previous marriage. Yeah. So, do you want to die intestate? Well, if you hate your heirs, go right ahead. Go right ahead. They will curse you, and you can laugh at them from beyond the beyond. But don't do that, folks. If you love your heirs, get the estate planning documents. Now, what's this probate? Probate is a process wherein a probate court validates your will and makes sure that your debts are paid. In some states, California being one of them, many people will try to avoid the probate process by using a living trust, by using a trust, which is why it is imperative upon you to talk to a lawyer about which document you should have, because for you, a will might just be all you need, or you might need a trust alongside or in place of the will. Slide 44. 45. The executor. Who is the executor. This is the person who executes the provisions of the will. Find out if the executor is willing to accept this major responsibility. Just don't name your brother or your parents or somebody without talking to them, because it's not an easy job, especially if there's any kind of property involved, because this process brings out the worst in people. And who do they blame? You, if you're the executor. Find out if they're capable, if they're trustworthy. If you don't name one, exactly, one will be named for you, which in my humble opinion is not the best alternative. Being an executor is a serious responsibility. So choosing an executor is even more serious. Consider choosing co-executors, your attorney or a trust company, and then a friend or family member. So this allows you to have the best of both worlds. You can make provisions to pay your friend or family member for their time, $50 an hour, $75 an hour, and so they won't hate you for having to do this for free. But you need to talk to a lawyer, because my understanding is that, oh no, the courts allow the payment to the executor even if you did not make a provision for that. So you have to talk to a lawyer. But then the attorney will make sure that the important tasks are done correctly at $200 an hour. Exactly. So you can run around and do all the legwork that you have to do for relatively inexpensive. And then the attorney, they make sure things are done correctly, the things that are important. And here is what happens. The executor takes control of the assets. They get the checkbook. You understand why it's such a serious responsibility. You give it to somebody who's not responsible, and they'll be just eaten alive. And they might get themselves in trouble, and the family's going to be angry, and who knows, and then the accusations fly, and whoosh. The executor files an inventory of assets and liabilities. They have to sell any assets, if necessary, to pay certain liabilities. They then distribute the assets based on the instructions in the will and make it a final accounting to the court. They have enormous power, and there are countless stories of abuses of that power, so choose carefully. Slide 47, selecting a guardian. Even if you don't have much assets, if you have a child or children, you still need a will to at least name a guardian. Not to be construed as legal advice in the state of California. Because the guardian assumes the responsibility for providing the child or children with personal care and managing the estate for them on their behalf. So, again, talk to the people. Don't assume that the person you think is going to wind up with the kids is going to wind up with the kids. Put it in writing. See if their values and their child-rearing practices match yours. It's your child or your children. So, at the very least, you need to talk to a lawyer about this part of estate planning. Now, let's take a little tack, and on the board in the face-to-face class, I go to the other side of the room and say, okay, these are documents that, you know, not necessarily estate planning, but they're documents that can go along with estate planning or are separate, but they're all on the same lines. And let's quickly talk about a prenuptial agreement. Because what's the most important financial decision you're going to make in your lifetime? Who you marry, right. And so the prenup is there to protect you in the case of your marriage ending in divorce. Now, do people getting married want to think about the prospect of divorce before they get married? It's not something that people want to talk about, but it's very important if you have children from a previous marriage, or assets, or both, at least talk to a lawyer about the advantages and disadvantages of a prenuptial agreement before you get married. And if your would-be spouse refuses to even discuss a prenuptial agreement, that should serve as a disturbing omen. Don't say I didn't warn you. But if you're like me, who, when faced with the prospect of marrying the second time, said, you know what, I don't want a prenuptial agreement because if this one doesn't work, I'm going to the monastery. And that's it with me. It for me. No more property, no more marriage. I'll be a renunciant for the rest of... It worked out, folks. It worked out. It was great. The second marriage so far, so good. 28 years? Yes. My wife tells me to tell you that we are happily married. Yes. Slide number 49. A living will. A do not resuscitate, an advanced directive. Now, your lawyer is going to give you this. It's going to be thrown in with the package deal. And this is not a will in this sense that we're talking about wills for estate planning. This is more if you become in a persistent vegetative state. That's the phrase they use. It provides for your wishes to be followed if you become so physically or mentally disabled that you are unable to act on your behalf. Discuss your will with those close to you, your living will. Sign it and date it before two witnesses. Give copies to those who are close to you because it requires careful thought. Actually, it's a no-brainer. Sorry, I could not help myself. I don't know if you remember, but about 10 years ago, there was a widely publicized event in Florida where a gentleman and were involved, and the parents of the wife. The wife had been in a persistent vegetative state for, I think, 16 years, and the doctors were pretty darn sure that this woman was never coming out of the coma, and she had not signed an advance directive and a living will, pull the plug document, whatever you want to call it. And so the husband had to go through this process of saying, yes, you know, we are pretty sure that her wishes would have been that if she were in this state for so long that she would have been okay with it. And he's got the final word. They're married. Well, the parents got frantic and said, you can't let her go. And so it became a cause célèbre, and the politicians got into the act. I don't know if you remember it. It was amazing. If she had signed the living will, no problem. No argument. Her desire. Slide 50, power of attorney. Now, you folks in the military, you know what this is because they shove it in front of your face before you go on deployment. It's a legal document that authorizes someone to act on your behalf. It doesn't have to be an attorney. It can be your brother-in-law or whoever. It can be limited to just one item, such as a car, in case you want to sell your car while you're abroad, or give a great deal of power. You can give them your checkbook. Be very careful who you choose as a power of attorney, because they, just like the executor, are going to be in control of your assets. The problem is you're still alive, and you come back and all the property's gone. Well, the durable power of attorney for healthcare is the same idea, but allows someone else other than you to make decisions on your behalf for your healthcare, assuming you're unable to do so. So again, these will be thrown in if you need them by your lawyer when you get the estate planning documents done. The letter of last instruction, as we said, is not a legal document. The lawyer's not, maybe if you ask them, they're not going to help you with this. If you ask them, they might, but they'll just say, look, you know, I'm charging you $250 an hour. You really want me to do this? It's not legally enforceable. It just provides heirs with information. You should include your funeral preferences, names of people you want notified, the location and contents, assets and debts, and this is where it can really help. You may have some personal effects that are of very little value, folks. I mean, don't send them through the courts. It just takes a lot of money and time up. But you want your uncle or your niece or nephew to get this portrait that you painted or whatever, a lamp or something, you know, just little things that the courts just don't want to be involved with. And, I know nephew wanted this little statue of Mickey Mouse or whatever it is. And so, yeah, don't bother the lawyers in the courts with that. Sound good? Yeah, exactly. Slide 52. All right. It's time to discuss trusts. So we have a will, and we have the things about the will, the executor, and avoiding probate and all that stuff. And now we're going to actually look at the document that helps us avoid probate, and that's the trust. A trust is a legal arrangement through which a trustee holds your assets for your benefit or that of your beneficiaries. So it's a legal thing. It's an entity that is created in the legal world, like a corporation, but it's not a corporation. The corporation is, you know, a company, and that has its own legal things. This is a trust. This is a different legal arrangement, and it is a thing that you create in the legal world. It allows the trustee to take care or manage your property, but in some trusts, the living will, the revocable living trust, the inter vivos trust, you are often your own trustee. Huh? It distributes your assets to your heirs from the trust after you die according to your instructions, and that is done by the successor trustee, which is sort of like the executor. So you're gone, you're no longer the trustee because you're dead, and now there's a successor trustee to distribute the assets according to the instructions in the trust. All, or the major assets, we should say, all your major assets are taken out of your name and put in the name of the trust or trusts. Huh? Why do we do that? Well, hang on a minute. We'll see why. But let me just add, trusts are tricky. Some people create them for themselves. You can do this, but if you screw up, your actions can result in outcomes that range from typically useless to potentially disastrous. Now, what are we talking about, folks? It's a little hard to describe, and so if you were watching me, you'd see me move back and forth. You have these assets in your name. You create a trust. Okay, this trust is created, the Frank Paiano Trust, or whatever trust, the name of your family trust, the family trust, your Paiano family trust. And then you pick up the assets from your name and put them in the trust. Now, why would you do that? Well, we'll discuss that later. You're trying to avoid probate. But what often people do is they create the trust and they then never move the assets into the trust. It's called funding the trust. And this is where I think, I never asked, so I'm not going to find out, and I don't want to bother the guy or gal, but you'll see these advertisements for $4.95, everything done. Well, I think they create the trust for $4.95, but then they charge you, you know, $300 or $500 to move the assets into the trust. I think that's what's going on, but who knows? But if you don't move the assets into the trust, you have not protected your estate from probate. That's why you shouldn't do it yourself, right? If you do create a trust and put the assets in, but you don't do it right, you can wind up in deep kimchi. You know what kimchi is, right? It's that stinky stuff, right? It's actually very tasty, but it smells bad. And you can wind up in a very bad place. And I'm not even about to describe what can happen, because I really don't understand. But there are ways you can put stuff in a trust so that you can't get it out, and it's stuck there, and now you're stuck. It's irrevocable. I'm not a lawyer. Go talk to a lawyer. Slide 53. What are the possible benefits of a trust? Well, in the state of California, as we said, many people will use trusts, talk to your lawyer, to avoid probate. It can reduce your estate taxes, but if you're in this position where you're in danger of being hit by the estate taxes, you know you need to talk to a lawyer. It frees you from managing the trust. Someone else can manage it on your behalf, or, as we said, you can be the trustee of your own trust. And it can also provide income for a surviving spouse or other dependents. Trusts can be extremely helpful for people whose children or grandchildren are either disabled or emotionally unprepared for a windfall inheritance. We will discuss those in a bit. Slide number 54. Here are just some of the different types of trusts that people use for estate planning. There are many, many more types of trusts, folks. But the most popular is the revocable living trust, the inter vivos trust, which just means while you're alive. That's why it's called living trust, while you're alive. And then the AB trust is a cousin, and sometimes the two of them are mixed up. I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand how it works. The generation skipping trust. That makes sense, doesn't it? You skip a generation. But what does the spendthrift trust mean? Or a private annuity trust? That might be the one you need. You don't know that. You need to talk to a lawyer. Don't do it. I don't care what LegalZoom says. You can do your own trust. Don't do it. Slide 55. California and living trusts. The revocable living trust, the inter vivos trust, are very common in California, and they are used to avoid probate and it sometimes reduces the estate taxes. If you're a California resident who owns property or has any substantial net worth, your estate will most likely benefit from some sort of living trust. Not to be construed as a legal advice, go talk to a lawyer. As we said, you're going to spend about $1,000 to $1,500. Please do not try to do your own trust. Let's say it again. If you screw up, your actions can result in outcomes that typically range from useless to potentially disastrous. Enough said? Okay. Slide 56. Here is why you're trying to avoid probate. If you have a home that's worth, say, $400,000, if you don't avoid probate, the lawyers get $22,000 no matter what. That is the minimum probate fee. It's a scam, I know, but the lawyers run the world, and Shakespeare said we need to kill all the lawyers, but that was a long time ago. And I agree, before lawyers, though. But, yeah, right, pistols at dawn. I'll pay the lawyer $250, all right? I don't want to get shot at. And the same thing is true here. You're paying the lawyer $1,000 now so that your heirs don't get hit with a $18,000 or $22,000 bill. You understand? Because if you find a good lawyer to set up the trust correctly, the probate fees will be zero. Why is that allowed? I don't know. Talk to the folks in Sacramento. Yes, I know. We talk about tort reform and legal reform, but nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect. And in this case, it's far from perfect. But talk to a lawyer about why we need to pay $22,000 to somebody for doing a few hours worth of work. And they will, I'm sure, come up with very good reasons why it's a bargain. Slide 57. Federal and state estate taxes. Now, you hear about this in the media quite a bit, but it's really a non-event for the vast majority of people. Once you've accumulated over a certain amount, then the estate taxes kick in. some states have inheritance taxes. Not all states. California does not have an inheritance tax. And so to avoid paying these estate taxes, very wealthy people, folks, this does not apply to the vast majority of us, would try to hide or move their assets before their death. And the IRS and the Congress said, look, you're just trying to avoid the estate tax. It's time to give back to the society that benefited you during your life. What we're going to do, here's what we're going to do. We're going to allow you to give a certain amount each year to as many people as you want, and double it if you're married. And currently, starting in 2018, that is $15,000. You can give $15,000 to as many as you want, any people as you want. If you give more than that, you have a choice. You can pay a gift tax, not the person who receives the gift, but you, the gifter, could pay a gift tax, which is basically the same as if you had waited till you were passed away and then were affected by the federal estate tax. Or, and this is what most people will do, you will reduce your federal exclusion to the estate tax. Huh? What? Hang on a minute. We'll take a look at that on the next slide. Does that make sense? You can either give the $15,000 starting in 2018 to as many people as you want per year, double it if you're married, or take the federal exclusion. In other words, reduce the amount that is going to be hidden away, that's going to be waived when you pass away. There are some ways that you can avoid taxes through illegal methods called evasion. What did we say about tax evasion? In this case, you won't go to jail because you're already dead. The provisions don't kick in until you die. But you won't know whether they worked or not. And some of these things are life insurance policies that are sold by unscrupulous salespeople as a way to avoid the estate tax. Again, they're only interested in people who are very wealthy. We're talking at least $5.5 million. So it's not going to affect most people. And besides, if you really are that wealthy, you need to talk to a lawyer. You need to learn about charitable bequests, remainder trusts, and the like to reduce the size of your estate. You get a double tax break before you die, and your estate gets a tax break after you die. Because if you don't, if you're very stubborn and you've accumulated a massive wealth, which I think, you know, $5.75 million now this year, you really should talk to a lawyer, folks. You can afford it. But if you haven't, if you've been stubborn, you might find, well, you're dead, you wouldn't know, but your estate will have to sell off assets to pay for the tax. And this happens every once in a while, and the Republicans just jump down and scream and holler because some nudnik never owned a farm that's become very, very wealthy just because of the land, and then did not make a provision to put it into a trust for their heirs, and they had to sell the farm, and that one time it happens in the state of Nebraska somewhere, the entire Republican establishment jumps up and says, see, you see why we have to protect the billionaires? Ridiculous. Excuse me, I'm getting a little hot under the collar here. So let me compose myself here. Okay, slide 58. Federal estate taxes exclusion. Exemption. What is this? Well, many people don't really understand this. There is a certain amount that you can bequeath to your heirs without any estate taxes. And it's been going up dramatically over the last several years. In 2017, it was $5,490,000. And if you're married, you know, double it. Well, in 2017, and the tax cut that the Republicans pushed, they tried to kill the estate tax entirely. Well, they were only able to get to double it. So in 2018, it was $11,180,000. And, of course, if you're married, double that. So in 2019, it goes up with inflation. It is currently $11,800,000 times two if you're married. So What does this mean? This means this first $11,800,000 is going to go to your heirs tax-free, which is a substantial sum of money. And for those individuals, as we said, who have far more than that, there are many provisions that they can do to shield from the federal estate tax that they don't want to pay, much of which means creating a foundation, a trust, turning it back into the society. The society's been very good to you. You can't leave it all to your kids. That's what people want to do. They want to go back to the feudal societies. Look, that Bolshevik communist liberal Winston Churchill, no, he really wasn't. He was a conservative, right? He described the estate tax as a certain corrective against the development of a race of idle rich. And I like what Warren Buffett said. He said, I want to leave to my children enough so they can do anything they want, but not enough so that they can't just sit around and do nothing. He doesn't want them. He wants them to be productive, and that's one of the things that Vanderbilt, the Vanderbilt magnate, said. Leaving money to people is one of the worst things you can do to them. We'd all like to find out why, right? But in other words, you want people to have some kind of way to produce and give back to society, even if they're only volunteering, right? So that they're not an idle rich. And according to this Tax Policy Center, in 2019, because of the new tax code, it's only going to affect about 1,900 people out of 2.7 million that are going to die. So it's a tiny, less than 0.1%. And here's a quote that I really like. Now, it's attributed to two different people, so we're not sure exactly who said it. But our ideals, laws, and customs should be based on the proposition that each generation in turn becomes the custodian rather than the absolute owner of our resources. And each generation has the obligation to pass this inheritance on to the future. And, you know, there's a lot of politics involved here. There's several families, something like 12 to 18 billionaire families who really are trying to change this narrative, and they're using the Republican Party to do it. And sure, if you want to label me a Bolshevik, liberal, socialist, whatever, college professor, go right ahead. But there it is. There it is. And it's my story. I'm sticking with it. We had a system where people kept in the family these riches, and the vast majority of people were not well off, and that was. It turns out it's a whole lot better. We're going to diverge again. I apologize, but it's a whole lot better for everyone if the folks at the bottom move into the middle. Everybody does well. That's the time that the stock markets do really, really well. Yeah, so let's not go there. Anyway, slide 59. Speaking of inheritances, the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the world will begin shortly. Over the next 40, 50 years, $41 trillion, and if the multi-billionaires, people of tens of billions of dollars, don't do anything, which of course they will, they will produce $61 trillion in taxes, but only a small number of estates will be affected, and these are the estates in the tens of billions of dollars, and these people are not stupid. So obviously, people like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett have already started this process. They've already been moving their money into these foundations. Warren Buffett was a very interesting situation. He said, look, my wife, she's the one who does the philanthropy. While I'm alive, it makes more sense for me to be building the capital. And then when I pass away, she can give it away. Well, in this case, Mr. Buffett's wife predeceased her. So, you know, sadness in the family. So he said, okay, all right. So he's, instead of creating his own foundation, he's just donating his money to the Bill Gates Foundation. And the two of them are friends. They play bridge together. But other groups, the Waltons, the people of the Walmart family, they're doing their best not to pay any of these taxes. You know, they want the money to stay in the family. And so we'll see what happens. And 2/3 of it, by the way, will go to people who are already wealthy. Are you going to get any? Me neither. But if you are one of the lucky ones who will be the recipients of an inheritance, how do you deal with a windfall? You suddenly receive $300,000 or $500,000 or $1.2 million or whatever. You know, whatever, lottery, what do you get, an inheritance. You think you are now one of the rich and wealthy, and you are set for life. Yippee! Or are you? Well, the average Joe or Jane lottery winner whose life was ruined by winning the lottery has become a cliche, right? So now it's something in the cultural consciousness. Oh, you don't want to win the lottery, it'll ruin your life. Well, not everybody. As we said back in Chapter 6, if you are happy before you get the money, you'll probably be happy after you get the money. If you ain't happy before you get the money, you ain't going to be happy after the money. So, talk about is the guy who he loved his granddaughter more than anything. And he gave her, he won a couple hundred million or something. He gave her just tons and tons and tons of money, and she wound up dying, right? Overdose. We don't exactly, the circumstances are a little suspect, but still, she wound up dying from all the money. So there's the Midas. The legend of Midas come to life, you know. The money kills that which you love the most. Huh? Sadness. So you're not. You know, you're not. You know, you have to think carefully. And thankfully, you've taken Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management, and may decide to take Business 123, Introduction to Investments, and learn how to invest this money wisely. But here are some ideas for what they're worth. Change your lifestyle very little. Be very careful of acquiring a sense of responsibility for family and friends or even strangers, because they will often expect you to share your windfall with them. A friend of mine won $225,000, believe it or not, in the lottery, and the first words out of his daughter's mouth were, "How much are you going to give me?" He's a nothing. She was already an adult. Consider not touching the money for 6 months. Find a trusted financial advisor. Go back over and do Business 121 all over again. Whatever you do, realize this is it, dear students. This is the one and only inheritance you will ever receive from dear Grand Aunt Trudy. Don't squander it. Slide 62. The final instruction regarding estate planning and for Business 121, Financial Planning, Money Management for Spring 2019. You know what the final instruction is, right? Go see a lawyer. Get a good reference. My wife and I use an estate planning attorney who's based in Chula Vista, La Mesa. They have two offices. She's very, very good. So if you want a referral, we have another lawyer, but I think she's retired. She's excellent. She does estate planning, but her bailiwick is business. And boy, is she awesome. She's about 3.5 feet tall. No, I'm sorry. She's very short, but she's got this spine of steel, and she looks right up at these big lawyers trying to face her down, and she just, she wouldn't want to go up against her in a court. Anyway, so if you need a reference, great. If you got a reference, that's fantastic too. But get a good lawyer, right? Just like you should find a good doctor, a good mechanic, a good professor. Anyway, we're done. We are done. Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management. Dear students, I cannot tell you how much of a privilege and an honor it is to have been your instructor this semester. You know, I'm basically a bit of a subversive in that I like to see the general order not destroyed, but definitely reformed. And how do we do that? In this society, money is power, right? And so when we give the common folk the tools to build wealth and create generational wealth so that they are able to pass on these habits, these techniques, these skills, and culture and culture of not spending not spending, you know, recklessly, learning to pay yourself first, make love, not loan, spend less than they earn. And then that means that those people are going to become more and more powerful, have a bigger voice in our society. And ultimately, people think, it's that liberal stuff again. There he is. No, you don't understand. I want to make money. And I'm heavily invested in stocks. And that means that the businesses are going to prosper because you're going to prosper. And that means we investors are going to prosper, which is why you should really consider Business 123, Introduction to Investments, as your next choice of classes. But just again, let me say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You are now the investment guru for your friends and family. It is a very heady responsibility, so we want you to treat it carefully and with honor and glory that you will bring to your family and Southwestern Community College. And please, please, please keep in touch. We love to hear how our students are succeeding. And assuming I'm still kicking, even maybe afterwards, wonderprofessor.com will still be available to you. Come back anytime and review the presentations. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All of us at Southwestern are extremely proud, grateful, honored, and privileged that you've been with us this semester. See ya!